Not long before Jesus was sentenced to be crucified, there was an interesting conversation that took place between Jesus and the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, trying to make a decision about what to do with this man who'd been brought to him by the religious leaders. Pilate asked a simple question. He said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He asked, "Is there anything true about this charge brought against you? Anything about this charge grounded in the truth?" Do you know what Jesus said to that charge, king of the Jews? Do you know what he said? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, my kingdom is from another world. He said, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I died, and I'm going to die to bear witness to the truth. And he said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Then Pilate followed up with another question. He asked, what is truth? And then it says he went out and tried everything he could to avoid condemning this man Jesus to death, but eventually he did. What is the truth about this day we call Easter? What are the truths about what happened 2,000 years ago to this man that was known as the Christ? And why is it in this so-called post-truth world in which we live, where everyone today seems to be able to define truth in their own way, why is it that the truth about Easter is still recognized as the single most important and unavoidable truth this world has ever known? I'll tell you why. Because what happened on that first Easter proved that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, and he came into this world to save us. What I want to do today, this morning, is to walk through the events of that first Easter. Some of the things that happened that first weekend leading up to the death of our Lord Jesus. And I want to touch on some of the truths from all those events that you and I simply cannot avoid. Now, we can ignore them if we want and pretend they're not important. We can deny them and say they never happened. We can even believe in our hearts that they actually did happen and then go off and live life our own way. We can do that if we want, as if they had not. A lot of people do that. Every day they do that, and so can we. But we cannot avoid them. We can't. They're too great, they're too important, and if they are true, which the Bible and more than 2,000 years of Christian history say that they are, then the implications of those events for our lives here and now, and the significance for our lives into eternity, are too far-reaching for any of us to avoid. It's not possible. There were three significant events that happened on that first Easter weekend that took place over the course of about 3 days, from Thursday night until Sunday morning. First, there was the trial of Jesus. Then there was the death of Jesus. And then there was the resurrection of Jesus. Let's take a look at those three in that order, starting with the trial. If you remember the story, there were actually a series of trials that Jesus went through. They arrested him on Thursday night, and before that night was through, six different trials had taken place. There were the religious trials, one before Annas, one of the religious leaders, another before Caiaphas, the high priest, and then one before the Sanhedrin, the religious supreme court. After that came the civil trials, one before Pilate, the governor of Jerusalem, another before Herod, the governor of Galilee, and a third, once again, before Pilate. Six different trials all night long. And by the time they were finished, do you know what they found? Do you know what they found? They found nothing. They found nothing. There was nothing Jesus had done that was wrong. They had no crime against him, no accusation that would stick. They even brought in people to make up false charges, but they didn't stick. Finally, Jesus was convicted on one count. They convinced Pilate to agree to one count. Do you know what it was? He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God. It's an interesting study, the claims Jesus made about himself. People have all kinds of ideas about Jesus, but Jesus didn't have all kinds of ideas about himself. His message from beginning to end was consistent. From start to finish, it was the same. He said things like, "I am the Son of God." He said things like, "I came into this world to save it." He said things like, "I and the Father are one." He said, there's only one way into heaven. And he said, that only way into heaven is through me. One count is all they could find. One charge against Jesus that finally stuck. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God. And it was true. That's exactly what he claimed. And it ended up costing him his life. One of the unavoidable truths surrounding Easter is the claims Jesus made for himself. They're unavoidable. And they're unavoidable because they're either true or they're not. They're either based in the reality of what was actually the case, or they're built around some false notion of what never really was. But it has to be one or the other. I mean, it cannot be both. And because it cannot be both, every one of us here today has to decide for ourselves which one it actually is. Just for fun, I went online this last week and did a little search. I typed in the phrase, things people believe about Jesus. Did you know that more than 8 million sites popped up on that one little phrase? All right. There's a long list of things people believe about Jesus. What Muslims believe about Jesus, what Jews believe about Jesus, what Mormons believe about Jesus. I mean, one of the sites listed said what Americans believe about Jesus. More than 8 million sites came up dedicated to what people believe about Jesus. Go online later today. Later today, not now, right? Go online later today and take a look, right? There's a long list of things people believe about Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what people believe about Jesus. What matters is what's true about Jesus. It doesn't matter what ideas people might have about who Jesus was. What matters is whether or not those ideas they have are actually grounded in what is true. What do you believe about Jesus? I mean, what's your judgment about this one called the Christ? Don't miss the point. Jesus is being judged in this world every day. He's being judged by this world in all kinds of ways. He's being judged by the nations of the world. How many religions are there, right? How many different belief systems exist? Every one of them claims to be the way into heaven, but only one of them in its leader claimed to be the Son of God. And he said he was the way. They can't all be true. They can't. Jesus is being judged every day by the nations. Same thing here in the United States. Jesus is being judged right here in this country. I mean, every day, just think about it, all right? Almost anything goes these days in what we're allowing on television, the internet, the kind of moral standards we're holding up. It's incredible how much has changed. What we're holding up today as examples for people to emulate, almost anything. But don't cross that line and confess to be a Christian. And don't hold up any standard that talks about sin and about what's really wrong in this world. But that's why Jesus died. That's what Jesus came to do. Every day he's being judged in this country, every day. How about on a personal level? I mean, did you know you make a judgment about Jesus every time you set priorities for your life? Every time you establish values, make decisions about what part he's going to play in your life or not, you're making a judgment. My friends, Jesus has never done anything in this world to force anyone to believe. He hasn't. But he has done something that forces every one of us to decide. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the only one in this world who could save. And he made that claim all the way to his death. First, there was the trial of Jesus. And then there was the death of Jesus. Now, the crucifixion is probably one of the most brutal and horrific forms of the death penalty ever devised. About 100 years later, even the Romans stopped using it because it was so inhumane. But even before he went to the cross, Jesus went through a tremendous amount of physical pain and abuse. You remember the story. They put a robe on him and began to mock him. They placed on his head a crown of thorns. And they put a blindfold on him and began to hit him and slap him and hit him in the face. And when they did this, they said, "Who hit you, Jesus?" And then they'd slap him and they'd say, "Who slapped you, Jesus?" And then they'd say, "If you are the Son of God, tell us who we are. Tell us who you are." Let me tell you something. Jesus knew exactly who they were. Jesus knew everything about them and their lives. Jesus knows who you are. He knows everything about your life. But he didn't say a word. He didn't tell them a thing because he was taking the punishment of the world upon himself. The Bible says he was mocked and scorned, and then it says he was scourged. 39 lashes were given to Jesus. 40 would kill a man. Jesus was given 39 before he even went to the cross. Now, Pilate thought that would be enough, that the crowd would be appeased and they'd let him go. What it did was even make them more hostile, and they called out for his death. And that's what happened. Jesus went to his death. They nailed him to a tree, and he did it for you. He paid the price for you. I came across a medical description of what happens when a person is crucified. I'm not going to go into all the detail. It's gruesome how it happens. I think you know how it works. They drive a nail through the wrists on both sides, not the hands, but through the wrists. And then they put the feet, one on top of the other, and then they drive a spike, a nail through the feet into the cross. Death on the cross finally was death by suffocation. That's how it happened. That's what happens, because if you hang that way for any period of time, what happens is the muscles in your chest begin to paralyze, and then after a while, not too long, you can breathe in, but you cannot breathe out. And so death on the cross would be a death by suffocation. And it would happen fast. But the Romans didn't want to make it that easy. And so what they did was they would take a person's knees and bend them a little bit so the person could push up and down while they were on the cross. The man being crucified would hang there in absolute agony until the pain in his chest would be unbearable. And then he would lift himself up on his feet to be able to catch a breath. And then he'd hold that position as long as he could until he couldn't stand the pain in his feet any longer. And then he'd let himself back down. It was an incredibly torturous death. That's why the Bible tells us, and history tells us too, that the Romans eventually, if they wanted to speed up the process for any reason, they'd break the man's legs so he could no longer stand up. And then they'd suffocate. That's the kind of punishment Jesus went through on the cross. Why? Why did Jesus have to die? It says they took a spear and they stuck it in his side to make sure he was dead. It says when that happened, water and blood came out of the chest cavity. Now, there have been many books written on this. Doctors say the only way this would have happened, water and blood mixing in the chest cavity, is if the heart rips. Now, call it what you want. Jesus died of a broken heart, and he did it for you. He did it for me. Why did Jesus die? What was his death on the cross all about? The Bible says it was the will of God that Jesus would suffer. It says it was something Jesus did willingly of his own accord. He didn't have to, but he did. You see, it's a law of the universe that you reap what you sow. It's a law of the universe. If you break this world's laws, you're going to get caught. Eventually, you're going to pay this world's price. You break God's laws, and you pay God's price. And the Bible says if you've broken one law, one sin, you've broken them all. And there's a price that needs to be paid, a sacrifice that has to be given. So that's what happened. That's what Jesus did. He paid the price. He became the sacrifice. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. If you sin, you're going to die. The good news is it's already been paid for by Jesus. You don't have to pay it. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God in Jesus Christ is life eternal.